Well, this morning I'm glad that you're with us. It's an occasion for us to study God's Word together, and I hope you brought your Bibles with you. And I'm going to ask that you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and starting in about verse 13, and we're going to read together these verses 13 through 16, and then we're going to talk about what the Apostle Paul taught in this particular chapter. And our study is going to be centered on Galatians chapter 5, although we won't be limited to just those verses in the book of Galatians, but we will be focusing upon them. So the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verses 13 through 16. So open your Bibles to that passage and we'll begin our study this morning as we think about freedom in Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, freedom in Christ. Now turn to Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Brethren, you have been called to liberty, or to freedom. And that's what I would like to talk with you about this morning, is the freedom that we have in Christ. The churches of Galatia were having to put up with some false teachers who had come in among them. And that's why Paul writes the book of Galatians. And I would like to contextualize this verse for just a moment. You see, these false teachers were teaching that Gentiles had to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. And this was a problem that the early church had to deal with. And they dealt with it in the book of Acts, chapter 15. And specifically in verse 5, that's where we find what the problem was, that they were teaching that they had to keep the law of Moses to be saved. But this was not what God desired, and it was not what Jesus died for. In fact, Jesus died to make people free from the law of Moses, to provide liberty to them out of that law of commandments contained in ordinances that the Scriptures discuss from time to time. And Paul, in the book of Galatians, actually teaches that they were no longer under a system of law, but rather they were under a system of faith. If you go look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2, he asks this rhetorical question. He says this: "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And the answer to that question is that they received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. You see, it is through faith that we are saved, not through the works of the law. In turning back to a system of law, as though these false teachers were causing them to do in these churches, in turning back to a system of law, they were actually falling away from the grace that is in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 in that regard. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. He says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." And so there were the attempts to be justified by law, and then there is what Christ does, which is justify us by faith in Him. And so this is the contrast that was being set up in the book of Galatians. On the one hand, you had a system of law. On the other hand, you have a system of faith. And where does freedom fit in to these two things? In relationship to a system of law and in relationship to a system of faith. And of course, it fits into this system because freedom is part of a system of faith. To be under Christ, you see, is to be free from this system of law. And to be under Christ is to have real freedom. And that freedom is by faith in Him. And so this morning we want to think about what this freedom is and what it means and how we can apply it within our lives. And so we'll study what it means to be free in Christ. And that is to say three things. First of all, there is the fact of our freedom in Christ. We are free in Christ. And that is a great blessing to have. Number two, freedom is not to be used to fulfill our carnal desires. There are things of the spirit on one hand, and on the other hand, there are things of the flesh. And freedom is to be used to pursue the things of the spirit, not the things of the flesh. And so the number three point is this. Freedom is to be used to serve one another in love. And that is really what it means to be a spiritual person, to pursue serving one another in this spirit of love, with the attitude of love, understanding that everyone needs help within this life. So let's think about those three things this morning as we think about freedom in Christ. And I hope that we will understand after this lesson is over that freedom is not lawlessness, as so many people think that it is today. They think, well, freedom means just being able to do whatever you want to do. No, that's not freedom at all. That's actually a kind of bondage to the carnal things of this world. But freedom is not lawlessness, but there are certain things against which there is no law. We're going to talk about that as we look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And freedom is actually governed by the distinction between the carnal and the spiritual. And we want to pursue the spiritual and put to death the carnal. So let's think about these things for just a moment. First of all, we are free in Christ. And we are free from several things in Christ. First of all, we are free from systems of law. We are also free from the bondage of sin. And we are then free from condemnation. We'll talk about what these things mean at this point. We are free from systems of law. And what I mean by that is this, that the whole purpose of a system of law is to provide condemnation to violators of that law. If you look in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul says as much here. He says, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." It was added, notice what the purpose of the law was. It was added for transgressions, and it actually looked to a different system, a different time when that we would not be under that system of law anymore. But it was added because of transgressions. You see, that's the only thing a law can really do. It can point out our transgressions. You think about the United States legal code and how much law there is on the books in the United States, or the Texas legal code. You can surf those things on the internet and you can find all the laws that have to pertain to every single thing. And every single law, all it will do is tell you when you are either in violation of that law. Because that's all the law can really do, is it condemns, you see. That's its purpose. It's to tell you when you've gone too far. It's to tell you when you've done something you shouldn't do. But the law cannot save. You see, if you were to keep that law perfectly, it wouldn't provide for you in the sense that it would save you in some sense. The Texas legal code isn't going to save me. The United States Constitution isn't going to save me. No, I'm still condemned because of my sin on account of that. And all the codes, all the systems of law in the world aren't going to provide for salvation. We need Jesus. We need something else in order to save us, and that is Jesus. Systems of law, you see, cannot make a person righteous. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21. "Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law." See what Paul says here? He says, you know, if there was a law, if there was even possible to be saved by law, then God would have given us that law and we would have been saved by it. But it's not possible. Notice what he says again here in verse 21. "If there had been given a law which there could have been a righteousness, or which there could have been life, and truly righteousness would have been by the law." But there is no such law. There's not a law that exists that gives life, because law only serves to condemn. There's no such law that gives righteousness, because law only serves to point out what is unrighteous. Only a system of faith can bring salvation. Look at Galatians 3 and verse 22. But the Scripture has concluded or confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. You see, it's by faith in Jesus that we find salvation. And so we are free from systems of law. As we believe in Jesus, as we put our faith and trust in Him, those systems of law have no power over us to condemn us. Christ sets us free from the law so that we can be saved by faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Therefore the law was our tutor or our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. And faith does make it possible for us to be righteous. Faith does make it possible for us to be justified. But it's through faith in Christ, not faith in some system of law. And so we are free from systems of law. We're also free from the bondage to sin. Turn back, if you would, to John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 36. John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 36. Jesus is talking about freedom in this passage. And He's talking about being free from sin. And He says in verse 31, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Do you see what Jesus said here? He's not talking about bondage to another person, as in physical slavery. He's talking about slavery to sin. He's talking about if you commit sin, you're bound more and more to be enslaved to sin, because sin has that effect on us. It captures us, and it grabs us, and it holds us, and it says, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on sinning. Keep on practicing sinful acts, whatever they might be. And you will get what you want eventually. But sin lies, you see. We never get what we want. We never get what we think we want. Sin just enslaves us more and more and more. But Jesus says, I've come to set you free. And if you do My word, if you abide in My word, you shall be My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from the bondage of sin. Now, every single person has a sin problem. Every single person has these internal desires that we have within us. Sometimes those desires lead us to glut ourselves on food and we become gluttons. Sometimes those internal desires lead us to possess more and more things within this life and we become covetous. Sometimes those internal desires lead us down a road of human sexuality and we become more and more identified by sexual things and things like that. Whatever it might be, pride or anger or envy or the other many sins that are contained and found within the Bible, all of those things can control us and dominate us and so rule over us that we become slaves to our own passions, to our own sin. But Jesus says, I've made you free from that. We're free from the bondage of sin. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18. And look at what he says here for just a moment. Paul writes, Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin unto righteousness, or whether sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, that word that Jesus said He wanted you to abide in, back in John chapter 8 and verse 31. You obeyed that, And then having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 18. And so by giving ourselves over to Christ and obeying His teaching, we free ourselves from the bondage of sin. But when we do that, we're also free from condemnation. You see, that's what the law brought. The system of law brings condemnation. Sin, by virtue of being in bondage to sin, that brings condemnation. But when Jesus frees us from systems of law, He frees us from the bondage of sin, we then become free from condemnation as well. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to that again. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about that for just a moment. That's real freedom. Freedom from being condemned. Whether by systems of law or by sin, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But then listen to it. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so we need to be spiritual in nature. And that leads us to our next point, and that is that really, freedom is not to be used to fulfill carnal desires, because that no condemnation is for those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, because freedom is in pursuing spiritual things, not carnal things. Freedom should not be used to fulfill our carnal desires. Now, every person has these carnal desires. I have them. The people sitting on the front pew have them. The people sitting on the back pew have them. And everyone in between has these carnal desires. Our bodies are temporal. These carnal desires come from our bodies. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. It's our own carnal desires that bring about sin. But the truth of the matter is that while we have carnal desires, we're not really carnal. Our real person, our existence is a spiritual one. You see, because every person that's here in this auditorium today, and every person that exists in the world, is a spiritual being. Yes, we have the carnal fleshly nature, but then we also have a spiritual nature. And that's what's lasting. This body, it's going to get old, it's going to rot, it's going to decay, and it's going to die. But the Spirit will live on eternally. And God created every single one of us to live forever. Now think about that for a minute. Our spiritual selves are our eternal selves. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The Spirit cannot be served by pursuing carnal desires. That eternal part of us, that part that's going to live forever, that part that's going to exist beyond this physical body, you cannot serve the spiritual person with carnal desires. Because you're feeding it the wrong things. To be carnally minded is death, Paul writes in Romans 8 and verse 6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The sinful man pursues the carnal desires unregulated. And he calls this freedom. But this isn't really freedom. It's actually bondage to the carnal self. Because as we pursue those carnal desires more and more, they will demand more and more of us. And less we will be satisfied by them. And eventually they will consume us. Think about the drug addict who has that one hit of drugs. And then he has to have more and more and more. And the more he gets, the less it satisfies. Until eventually he gets so much into his system, it destroys him and it kills him. Sin is much the same way as that. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, Peter says that those who live such a way promise liberty, but they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. To seek to satisfy the spirit with carnal desires actually brings death. And I know nobody here wants to have a life of living death. Is there anybody here that wants that? Surely not. We all want to have life. We want to feel alive. We want to be alive. We want to have that life in this life that we know we can have. But we can't do that by pursuing sin. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickens or that makes one alive. You see, that's our spiritual self. That's the eternal self. That's what really makes us alive. It's the Spirit that makes us alive. The flesh, there's the carnal side, it profits nothing. And then Jesus says this, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. You really want life? Listen to the words of Jesus. Carnal people will consume one another with their selfish desires. And that's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed of one another. And the lust of the flesh ultimately will not provide entrance into the kingdom of God. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5 and look at verses 19 through 21 now. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. The Apostle Paul writes, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we all want to inherit the kingdom of God, and we all want to be free. And so we need to put to death the carnal side of us. That's not freedom. The world says that pursuing those things, oh, that's freedom. It's not. It's not freedom at all. It's the worst kind of bondage that you can be in. But freedom that Christ provides is to be used to serve one another with love. Now, there's real freedom. There's real freedom. But Christ does give us a choice. He does say, you have freedom and you can choose how to live your life. But He wants us to choose loving one another. That's what freedom is for. You see, we don't have freedom for the sake of itself. You know, sometimes we talk like that. Sometimes we talk like, oh, you know, freedom in itself, it's a great thing, and how wonderful freedom is. And it is great. Don't get me wrong. It is wonderful, but it is just a tool. Freedom is a tool to be used to love one another. That's what freedom is for. That's why we have it. That's why God gave it to us, so that we could love. Think about what Moses wrote about in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. He said this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. There's a choice before us, a choice of life versus death, a choice of blessing versus cursing. Choose life. That's what freedom is for, to choose life. Enter you in at the straight gate, Jesus said. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. There's two gates. There's the narrow gate and there's the wide gate. There's two ways. There's the narrow way and there's the wide way. There's two ends. There is life and there is destruction. Choose the narrow gate. Choose the narrow way. Choose life. That's what freedom is about. You see, we have a choice every day between the carnal, our physical selves, and the spiritual, our eternal selves. And the only way we're going to have life is if we choose the spiritual. The spiritual self can only be satisfied with pursuing spiritual choices. And this is what the fruit of the Spirit is. Look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and following. He says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And then he says this, "Against such there is no law." Now there's where we can truly be free. You can exercise your freedom all day long to love. You can exercise your freedom all day long to have joy. You can exercise your freedom all day long for peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You see, because there is no law against these. You can live them all you want. Now that's freedom. That's true freedom. That's what it means to be free. And to use this freedom to love one another without fear. That's what we need to do. We have wonderful freedom in Christ. And that freedom comes as a result of the grace that God has given us within Christ. Without grace, we would still be condemned under law and beholden to the rudiments of the world, as Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20 when he said, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" Don't go back to those things. Be free in Christ. Recognize the grace that we have. Paul writes in Galatians 2 and verse 21, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Don't frustrate the grace of God. Accept it within your life and live under it. You see, without grace, we would still be in sin. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. And so sin has no control over us. We don't have to serve it. We can live some other way. We can live free in Christ under grace. With grace, we are free from debt and obligation and therefore free to choose. We are not indebted to any system of law. We are not indebted to our sins. We are not indebted to condemnation. We are not indebted to any of those things. We are free from them because of God's grace. In Romans chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, Paul says this, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." You see, when we feel like we're still condemned, or we feel like we're still in sin, or we feel like we're still under a system of law, we're going to feel in debt and we're going to try to work to free ourselves from those things. But you're never going to be able to do it because you can't get free from those systems of obligation because there's never enough work that you can do to be free from them. But with grace in Christ, we are free because Christ frees us. We don't free ourselves. Christ frees us. And with the freedom that we have in Christ, we are no longer obliged to those carnal things. Listen to what Paul says in the rest of that verse. "Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." That's what I do, and that's what you do. We believe in Jesus to save us. We can now use this freedom to love without fear. You see, because there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4 and verse 18. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17. "Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Freedom. What a great blessing it is to have freedom in Christ. To be saved by faith. To be saved by grace. To not be condemned, but to be free from the bondage of sin. To be free from systems of law. To be free from the condemnation that is associated therewith. What wonderful freedom we have in Christ. Do not use that freedom to pursue carnal desires, no, or you'll just get yourself back into the mess you were in before you believed in Christ. But rather, use that freedom to pursue love. And by love, let us serve one another. and against love and peace and joy and righteousness and all those wonderful things, there is no law. And you can be free all day long to practice all of those things and truly fulfill what it means to be a spiritual person, to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Freedom in Christ. What a great blessing it is to be in Him this morning. Are you in Christ today? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins so as to be added to the body of Christ, where you are in Christ Jesus? Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how you get in Christ. That's how you become free. You believe in Jesus to save you, and you obey His will. Hear His word. Believe it. Repent of sins. Confess Him. Be baptized and be in Christ. Free from sin. Free from systems of law. Free from condemnation. Free to love and to serve. Do you need to respond this morning? We can help you today. Why not come right now while together we stand and sing?